Blog Talk Radio.
Got a lot of good stuff we're going to talk over today. Phone lines are open, 347-326-9073. You can get us right there. You can also get us on my personal Facebook page, Gregory Squirrel. You can get our Facebook page for the Greg Squirrel Show. Yes, the Greg Squirrel Show does have a Facebook page. So look us on there, hit your likes. And or hit the like button, keep track of what's going on with the Greg Squirrel Show. Got some neat, interesting stuff because there's some big events coming up. So really wanting to pimp out the Greg Squirrel Show. So we're going to be talking about that. Can't let too much out of the bag yet because I'm still talking with my different promoters and everything that... that I work with, but it's going to be fun. That's all we say. So there you go, 347-326-9073. You can also Twitter me at RingAnnouncer1, and you can get me on the Twitter. So all I can say is, how you doing? I hope everybody's having a good day. Got my buddy Clint Davis, the official co-host of the Greg Squirrel Show. Hopefully he's going to be calling in here in a little while. So, got a lot of stuff. He's probably, knowing Clint, speaking of Clint, there you are, you little rascal. What are you doing?
Yeah, I was trying to get in, man. Skype is playing games.
Uh-oh, no, that's not good. So, what kind of games are they playing? Tiddlywinks?
Tiddlywinks. It's Let's Not Connect the Co-Host. That's the new game.
Well, that sucks. Hey, Clint, you know, you motivated me earlier today with XFI Live.
You're welcome.
Every Tuesday, every Friday, Clint Davis, my beautiful co-host, has XFI Live at 12 noon right here on Blog Talk Radio. But, you know, you were playing some little instrumental Tupac earlier today.
I was.
You were. So you kind of had me. I felt motivated to go look up my favorite Tupac song.
It's not Ghetto Gospel.
Oh. Wait, you and me need to get together and go sing that at karaoke one night.
Oh, boy.
Hey, let's go to north side of Fort Smith and sing that at karaoke.
You know, there may be some stuff in there that I don't want to touch with a stick, so I don't know if that would be a good idea or not.
I didn't say we were going to 9th Street, Fort Smith. No, we're staying away from 9th Street and Fort Smith. I guess that's where the ladies still hang out.
You talking about the ladies of the night?
There's ladies. The red light district, yes.
Yeah.
Roxanne! Yeah, you don't have to put on the red light! Roxanne! You don't have to roll them over to the night! Every time I hear that, think of that song, I cannot help but think of Eddie Murphy in 48 Hours.
Nice. Yeah, that was a good one.
Oh, man. It's a sad day in the household.
Oh, I heard this morning.
Yeah. my precious little Grits, little Mr. Grits, as I called him. I've had that boy since he was an itty-bitty baby. You know, he's a full-blood Persian, so he's nothing but hair. So we never really knew how big Grits really were. All we knew, all I know is he was cute and adorable, and he was actually a show cat at one time. The lady that we got him from breeds and raises full-blood Persians for cat shows. And Mr. Grits was one of her cats, and she had already shown him at shows, and he had already started accumulating points. Apparently, the cat show community is so stringent on their rules that the slightest defects knocks them out of competition. And that's what happened with Grits. Apparently, they got his tail caught in something, and it broke off the very tip of his tail.
Oh, man.
And so that knocked him out of the show circuit, as they called him, or as they called them. But the lady worked with my mom, and so as this lady's business practices, if they weren't show quality cats, she found them good homes to go to. And you could tell. I mean, the minute little baby Grits crawled out of his little box, you could tell that his feet had never set foot on earth just by the way he talked, real dainty, up on his tiptoes. But, you know, he was an awesome cat. And the last couple of years, he had kind of come out of his shell some because he was kind of a loner. He'd kind of stay back in the bottom of the closet so the dogs wouldn't get to him. And at one time, I had two cats. And I understood Grits's philosophy. He's like, I'm going to stay hid in the closet, and I'm going to let Miss Kitty deal with those crazy schnauzers.
He's like R. Kelly, just trapped in the closet.
Yeah, trapped in, yeah, well, R. Kelly, that, you know. Oh, no,
trapped
that's
in the closet.
That's Kanye we tend to dislike on this show.
Yeah, I'm cool with R. Kelly.
Yeah, R. Kelly, oh, yeah. I don't see nothing wrong.
Boo-boo.
With a little bump and grind.
With a little bump and grind.
Yeah, baby. There we go. You know what that means. You know what that song's good for.
Oh, my mind's telling me no.
Oh, well, your mind's SOL.
But my body.
But my body.
Oh, get
my
it.
My body keeps telling me yes. I don't want to know.
Oh,
don't get
God.
Me started. We're
I don't
taking
hurt nobody.
We're taking karaoke to the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame next year.
I want to hear that beautiful lady who was on the show. I want to hear her sing.
Yes. Yes, OJ Guerra, his beautiful wife. We are going we're throwing down next year. Matter of fact, I had to send OJ a care package. I found out me and OJ have a common interest outside of martial arts. Me and OJ have a love of fine cigars. So, so OJ admitted to me that he did not have a humidor to keep his cigars in. So me being the friend that I am, looking out for other friends, I got with my cigar supplier, and I, as of this morning, there is about a 50, they call it a variety pack, about 50 cigars, different lengths, different flavors, different sizes, along with a humidor for OJ to keep them on his desk, and he should be getting that here within the next couple of days. So I had to hook a brother up.
All right.
So that's what I did.
I've never been a cigar man. I mean, I'm sure I would enjoy it, but I've never smoked a nice, fine cigar. I've never done that.
Oh, I mean, yeah. We're talking to cigars where you actually have to have the little cutter to poke the hole in the end. Not Dutch Mass, not Dutch Masters, not the Easy Mart specials.
Or the Dutch Mantels.
Yeah, or the Dutch Mantels. Don't even get me started on that. Man.
Smoke a Dutch.
Yeah. So anyway, I hooked OJ up, and me and his wife, we kept talking about it. So next year, no matter where it's at, we're going to have a karaoke night at the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame next year. And we gonna rock it like rock stars.
Party like it's 1983.
Yeah, or something like that, yeah.
Are you firing one up right now?
Oh, no, I was taking a sip of my sweet tea.
Oh, sweet tea, yeah.
Yeah,
I've got nice bottle of eco-friendly Aquafina sitting next to me right here.
Well, there you go. Oh, man, that is the – you know, we were talking about some of the drawbacks. I don't know what the heck it was with Phoenix, Arizona, but it seems like it's something in the water. The water was nasty. I mean, you know your water is nasty when no matter how much sugar you put in your tea, it still don't taste good.
Yeah.
I mean, that outside of that and the high prices of the suitcase or the little mini bottles like you get on an airplane that they had in their in-room fridges running $9 a piece, outside of that, it was a great trip.
Yeah. Hey, have you not to get you off track, but have you seen everything that's in the news right now? I can't even slow down on the news.
Oh, man. I mean, we got babies being born. And
oh,
I ain't nothing, no baby, Miss Collins. Oh, sorry.
You know, I'm not one to get off on this Ryback subject here, but Ryback has done a recent interview with Fox Sports Australia, and he has told about his eating habits, 8 to 10 meals a day. Chicken and brown rice, he says. I'm big on complex carbohydrates. I'm pretty bland in what I eat. I'll eat the same things over and over again, chicken, turkey, tuna, salmon, and protein shakes. I try to eat every meal. Eat well every meal. Every meal I try to better myself. That's the goal. I try to stay away from foods that are not going to benefit me. I have to constantly feed myself because of the schedule I'm on and how much physical activity I'm doing, whether in the weight room, doing cardio conditioning or flexibility program. I'm constantly doing something, so I have to keep my calories in me so I have the size and strength and power in me when I get into the ring. You have to feed the machine. I actually feel like I have gotten in better shape since I've been on the road. You know, he was down there rehabbing. He was with the Florida Championship Wrestling, now NXT, rehabbing that snapped, crackled, and popped ankle that he had. And now that he's been back on the road, he says he's in a lot better shape. This dude eats 8 to 10 times a day.
Wow. Well, you know, that was have you ever heard the story about Andre the Giant at WrestleMania when he wrestled Hulk Hogan?
I've heard a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. They said Andre drank like 10 bottles of wine. It was either wine or champagne, one of the two, while he was sitting in the dressing room waiting for his match with Hulk Hogan. And they said he would literally get so bored, he'd drink a couple of bottles, then he'd go drive around for a little while.
Oh, boy.
He'd come back. You know, hang around the dressing room for a little while, drink a couple of more bottles, and take off again.
Well, you know, I don't think a couple of bottles would have put him at the .08. I mean, he was just so big. I don't think it would have done it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Andre, he's so big that they had to bury him in a piano-sized box coffin. So what's that
I thought,
tell you?
I thought Andre was cremated and his ashes were spread on his branch.
No, maybe you're right. Who was it? There was one wrestler that was so big, and I'm wanting to say it was Bam Bam Bigelow, now that I think about it.
Well, he was only 6'6", or 6'5". He wasn't a big – I mean, he was fat, but he wasn't a big dude.
Yeah. Phone lines are open, 347-326-9073. And, you know, I'm kind of leaving the phone lines open today. I've already put the post on my Facebook page that any promoters out there with shows coming up, we're kind of leaving the phone lines open to them so they can call in, pimp their shows.
Well, there's one promoter I don't care to hear from.
I know you don't want to hear. I know, you don't have to tell me. I've heard the stories. I've read the internet rumors, so it's all safe.
Yep.
Anybody but him.
What a crock. I'm not even going to get started.
Was that a country crock on bread?
No, that was. I don't know if you want me to elaborate on that. That was a crock of something. Hey, a new report has come out. Charles Barkley.
Oh, no.
This came out on July 19th. Outspoken former NBA superstar Charles Barkley said he agrees with the verdict in the murder trial of George Zimmerman, but blasted the media for giving platforms to racists to vent their ignorance. Barkley, 50, gave his assessment on the high-profile Florida murder to CNBC on Thursday. Last Thursday, saying jurors simply did not have enough evidence to convict the former Neighborhood Watch volunteer in the 2012 killing of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. He said, well, I agree with the verdict. I feel sorry that young kid got killed, but they didn't have enough evidence to charge him. Something clearly went wrong that night. Clearly something went wrong, and I feel bad for anybody who loses a kid. But if you looked at the case and you don't make it, there was some racial profiling, no question about it. But something happened that changed the dynamic of that night. Barkley recognized his take probably is not a popular opinion amongst most people. Now, when he says that, he's talking about a certain community of people. He said, but the evidence pointed to an acquittal. He said, I just feel bad because I don't like when race gets out in the media because I don't think the media has a pure heart.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, there's very few people who have a pure heart when it comes to race. You know, I mean, that's coming from Charles Barkley. I mean, if you want to call him racist, that's fine, but don't think he is. Just don't think he is.
I just kind of stay away from Barkley.
I think Barkley's a genius. I mean, if you've ever sat and listened to the guy talk, I mean, he's got brains. You know, he sounds like he's from the dirty South, but he can articulate himself and he knows what to do. And speaking of more bad news, Emile Griffith, the elegant world boxing champion whose career was overshadowed by the fatal beating he gave Benny Parrott in a 1962 title bout that darkened all of boxing, has died. He was 75 years old.
Wow.
So Emile Griffith, he struggled with pugilistic dementia and required full-time care later in life. He was the first boxer from the U.S. Virgin Islands to become world champion, was inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame in 1990. Apparently, this guy was a great, great man outside the ring. So it's sad to see somebody like that go. He fought Benny the Kid Parrott in 1962. Griffith knocked him out in the 12th round to regain the welterweight title. That's when Benny Parrott went into a coma and died from whatever injuries it was about 10 days later. So. Sad deal. Sports Illustrated reported in 2005 that Griffith may have been fueled by an anti-gay slur directed at him by Parrott during the weigh-in. Over the years, Griffith described himself at various times as straight, gay, and bisexual. So we don't know what this guy was. I mean, he must have had an identity issue, but, you know, apparently he loved people. And so, you know, whatever. I mean, if that's your preference, then go on with your bad self. Hey, have you heard about what's going down in Mexico?
No.
Mexican paleontologists are saying that they have uncovered 50 vertebrae believed to be a full dinosaur tail in the northern desert of Coahuila State. The National Institute of Anthropology and History says the tail is about 15 feet or 5 meters long and resembles that of a hadrosaur or crested duckbill dinosaur. An institute Monday said it's not yet possible to confirm the species, but it would be the first full tail of that kind in Mexico. There's a paleontologist down there that said they uncovered roughly half of the dinosaur, which was 36 feet long and lived about 72 million years ago. The excavation took 20 days. Somewhere that borders Texas. So they say, they're saying they also found hip bones. I mean, this could be pretty big. I mean, if they're finding, you know, stuff close to the United States, I mean, I don't know how many dinosaur bones have ever been found around here, but they're finding stuff in Mexico.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know what that was.
That's the theme to Jurassic Park.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm not into all that. TNA has gotten rid of Jesse Sorensen. Can you believe this crap?
I saw that.
Jesse Sorensen, who broke his neck in a TNA pay-per-view match with Zema Ion in February 2012, confirmed his release. He said, "I have officially been released by At Impact Wrestling. Would like to say thank you very much to my supportive family, friends, and fans." That was today, July 23rd, 2013. Sorensen had been working backstage as a marketing assistant for the company. Man, these guys are going downhill, bro. I just don't know how much.
I get that impression, yes.
I don't know how much longer they're going to last. You know, the primetime players on WWE, they come out going, millions of dollars. There's a meme on Facebook that says, how much money is TNA losing when they're on the road? And then their guys are going, millions of dollars. So, you know, they're losing everything. They're losing everything they've got. And, Eric Bischoff had a reaction to the release of Jesse Sorensen. He said, "Nothing but respect and support for Jesse. Stay strong, never lose your determination, and success will find you." Now, I think that's crap, to be honest with you. You have to go find success. Chances are not given in life. Chances are taken. So you can't just sit around and wait for a handout. So I don't know what kind of advice Eric Bischoff is handing out, but apparently he is as cuckoo as Hulk Hogan these days.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was reading an interview with an unnamed, recently released personality with TNA, and he puts all the blame on Dixie. He says,
"Well,
that
yeah,
has,
I mean,
he's the one in charge,
but you can't blame the president. You can't blame the president of the United States for the failures of Congress. You can't blame the president for the failures of the judicial system. You can't blame the president for the failure of state and local government." I mean, you can blame the person in the top position, but that's not always the way it goes down. I mean, sure, yeah, whatever. Dixie, she owns the company, blah, 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 whatever the case may be. But you can't blame her for everything.
All I can do is go by what this guy said. He said he had nothing to do with Hogan. Said it had nothing to do with the people actually behind the scenes. He was putting, from what he saw, he was putting the blame solely on Dixie Carter.
Well, that's ridiculous.
So, I don't know.
I mean, you know, you can't blame the person in the top position for all the failures. I mean, yeah, you know, poop rolls downhill. But... I mean, how far up does it start? I mean, you got guys like Bruce Pritchard that are dropping the ball. I mean, look at who's gone. I mean, until Dixie's father comes in and says, "Look, lady, we're taking the company from you," or until Jeff Jarrett says, "Okay, me and my dad want to buy this thing back from you," then it's not her fault. If it was her fault, somebody would get rid of her. She would be gone.
Oh, by the way, I did receive some good news today. I don't mean to cut you off there.
No, you're good. Go on.
No, I will be at the big Muay Thai tournament in Muskogee.
Did they call you about it?
I officially got word today that, yes, I will be there.
Wow.
So, that's pretty big there. There we go.
I've got a backstage update on the Big Show. You know, they touted the Big Show to come back on Monday Night Raw last night, which we'll talk about Brie Bella's nipple slip here in a little bit. But you talk about beautiful. Well, anyway, they've been advertising the Big Show to come back. They've been talking about Big Show coming back. He was scheduled to return on Raw last night but was not used on the show. Word is the Big Show is still healing from his knee injury and was limping around backstage at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. The WWE wanted him back as soon as possible to start an angle for SummerSlam. WWE is taping Raw tonight and then 2 weeks of SmackDown on Wednesday and Thursday. And the feeling is he'll appear on at least one of the shows to get that angle started. If not, he's still injured and they don't want him back yet because of that. I mean, you can't rush 450 pounds. To get back on his knees. I mean, this dude is 7 feet tall. He's 450 pounds. You can't rush that on a knee injury. I mean, you only have two knees. One of them things goes bad, you're going to have a hard time in life.
Oh, exactly. But apparently, from what I was reading on Pro Wrestling Illustrated, you know, my wrestling Bible, that there are some pretty hecked off fans. Because apparently there were several people that were advertised to make appearances, and yet they never showed up at the show. Speaking of which, Jay Leno has even been poking some fun at the WWE lately. Yahoo Sports picked up a story about Reddit user. Well, I guess Reddit is one of the internet search engines or something. Reddit user Dolphins1925 correctly posted the results of the last WWE pay-per-view minutes before the show went on the air. NESN also is featuring a story about the same thing, and the story also mentioned that on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno last week, that Dolphins 1925 was actually NSA leaker Edward Snowden. So go figure. Do you know who I miss?
Who's that?
You know who I miss on Maurice?
I don't.
You don't miss her?
No, I don't. I don't miss that accent. I don't miss anything about her. She was just weird, man. She, you know, I mean, people don't like the French anyway. And then she made it worse because she thought she was God's gift to anything that could walk and talk. You know, I mean, it was ridiculous.
Well, I miss her. I mean, call me kooky, but now let's get back to this nipple slip thing. I mean,
I don't even know what they were doing. I did not get a chance to watch Raw. I had to put my lovely 5-year-old daughter down for a nap today, and I ended up laying down with her and just sleeping. I mean, I took a nap, and so I did not get to sit down and watch Raw, and I'm sure I will at some point. And I don't know what happened or why it happened, but I have seen pictures. And
okay,
apparently
she was
clapping for something, and all you could see was nipple.
Well, I must have missed it because I was watching it. What they were doing is they did Ms. TV segment, and, you know, the Bella Twins has this reality series coming up on ETV, shameless plug, and so they had some of the girls who were making frequent appearances on Ms. TV on Raw last night. And you had the Bella Twins, you had the Funkadactyls, you had Natalia, and there's two new girls that are about to be hitting on the scene. They're rookies. And I missed it. Yeah, they were applauding something, but I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary until I was checking all my little juicy stuff today, and there was a story: WWE forces Bella twins to apologize for nipple slip. It's like, why? Do they think she intentionally let her boob pop out?
Well, but you have to be aware of your surroundings. You have to know what you're wearing. I mean, you have to pay attention to detail. And if you're wearing something that could possibly happen with, then you need to be responsible with it. And the WWE is not in the business of showing nipples and anything else for that matter. Even when Randy Orton pulled Sheamus down off the ladder the other day at the pay-per-view, he showed just a solid white ass to the crowd. I mean, you got to be aware of what you're doing. And I know Ric Flair is the king of that. Ric Flair was the king of running around with his butt hanging out of his pants. But, you know, it's just they're not in the business of doing that kind of stuff.
I know. I guess I see your point. But, yeah, here it is right here. WWE officials were furious over the Brie Bella nipple slip while she was applauding something on last night's Raw. The apology that she tweeted was ordered by management.
Wow. Yeah, I was reading a little bit about that this morning.
So, anyway.
Stone Cold.
Like I said, I missed it, so.
Stone Cold is in the news here. Stone Cold posted the following on Twitter. He said, just had a hell of a talk with @ScottHall NWO. The bad guy is in a good place. Check it on Thursday on the hashtag Steve Austin Show @Podcast1 and iTunes. So, I guess Thursday, Scott Hall is going to be on Stone Cold's podcast, the Steve Austin Show. I don't know. I've never heard of this, but I need to.
We might have to listen to that just so we can find out what's going on with the bad guy.
Yeah.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. You know, I watched been watching a lot of stuff on YouTube here lately. You know, I had a after that talk with Pat Rose, you know, I told Pat that I've done a lot of research. Well, you know, I don't know. But, you know, I've done a lot of research on some of the old school stuff, and I was watching some things this week. Actually, this morning, real early this morning, about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning on Memphis, wrestling in Memphis. And Scott Hall made his in-ring debut at one of the events. And, you know, he was just trying to get on the map there. And he came out as Big Scott Hall with that big bushy mustache that he had. And,
right.
You know, 6'6", 287 pounds. And the chicks were going wild for him. And you know, he almost had the life that I have, you know.
Right, and then he went to AWA, and, you know, had good success, tag team champions with Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig.
Kurt Hennig was on this Memphis show that I was watching. Yeah, Lawler was there. I'm gonna have to find a link and send it to you. Scott Hall's in ring debut. Jimmy Jack Funk was there. Jeff Jarrett was there. The youngest video ever I've seen of Jeff Jarrett. Well, he was there. Hector Guerrero was dressed like a dadgum. I don't know. He had a huge sombrero on and was playing a guitar. I mean, stereotype to the max. And it was awful. And Jerry the King Lawler was there. Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig was there. I mean, it was just an action pack. I need to find it to you and just put it on, or send it to you. I need to find it on YouTube and send it to you. And,
wow.
I
remember those days. I remember, you know, back when Hector, and I think this was even pre-Mid-South. And I remember Hector Guerrero, he would come to the ring and he'd have the big sombrero and the blanket wrapped over him with the bandoliers and everything, and really stereotyping the Mexican part to the hilts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and like I say, that was before I even started watching Mid-South when I saw that. So that tells you how long ago that was.
Yeah, that was definitely back in the day. I'm gonna have to find this on YouTube, and it was like an entire I don't know if it was a pay-per-view back then or what the hell this thing was, but It was quite a long show.
Right, right. I miss those days of wrestling.
Back when it was real.
Yeah.
Just what Pat Rose talked about. And I found that picture that, it was December 26th, 1987. Memphis Wrestling. There's a full episode of this up. It's Scott Hall's in-ring debut. I found the link to it, and I'm gonna go ahead and put it on your Facebook page here in a couple of minutes. There's a commercial in there for a Jeff Jarrett poster. I mean, it's hilarious.
Wow, Jeff Jarrett had a poster back then.
He did. He absolutely had a poster. There was a hotline on there for it. I'm trying to find out what promotion this is. Oh, CWA, Memphis Wrestling. Randy Hales is subbing for a vacationing Dave Brown. Also, since this show aired live in Memphis before Christmas, this is their Christmas edition for all intents and purposes. Hector Guerrero interview. Hector performs Feliz Navidad on the guitar. Let's see, Freezer Thompson is on there. AWA World Champion Kurt Hennig versus Jerry Lawler. It was a non-title match. Lawler got the pin. Local promo interview with Nate the Rat. Nate hypes Jaggers versus Scott Hall, Loser Leaves Town. And Mark Galeen. Let's see, Jimmy Jack Funk versus David Johnson. Scott Hall versus Keith Eric. Another Hector Guerrero interview. Hector makes a rule with Jeff Jarrett and the referee. Anyone who throws a punch is immediately DQ'd. So Jeff Jarrett and Hector Guerrero got it on there. There was a Bill Dundee interview, a Scott Hall interview, the Bruise Brothers interview. And then the Bruise Brothers, Ron and Don Bruise, went against Rough and Ready with Boss Winters.
Wow.
This was a good episode. December 26, 1987. CWA Memphis Wrestling. This was good, man. I sat here and watched the whole thing.
Huh.
Yay, yay. Oh, my gosh. We're not there yet.
Oh, sorry. That's not what I thought it was. Come on, if you say you're going to be Feliz Navidad. Feliz on my dog.
Oh, my gosh.
Feliz on my dog. Feliz on my dog. Oh, I'm sorry. So anyway, what else you got, Bubba?
I'm looking at some stuff on YouTube. I've found a video here where Scott Hall talks about the Shield.
Really?
Yeah, but I can't listen to it right now. I wish I could and figure out what he thinks, you know, Mr. NWO himself. But, you know, it's probably something to watch at a different time, different place. What do you think about Mr. Monday Night back on Raw? What do you think about that?
RVD?
Oh, yeah.
He kind of looked slow to me last night. I mean, I realize the man's older. And everything, and he could still nail the 5-star frog splash.
Mm-hmm.
But the overall match, he kind of looked a little slow to me. I don't know if it was the fact that he was wrestling. Oh, what's the punk from Britain? What's his name?
Which one?
Oh. Oh, what's his nuts? Or what's his name?
Wade Barrett?
Wade Barrett, yes.
Well, Wade Barrett is injured now. I don't know. Did you get the memo on that today?
No.
Wade Barrett was injured on Raw last night. Let me click on the link here. This is what they're calling an injury. Bear with me for just one moment.
Oh, what did they cut a toenail or something?
Oh, it's not even that bad. Wade Barrett's mouth was busted open during his match with Rob Van Dam. The blood likely came from a stiff kick from RVD, who has always had a reputation of working stiff. Opponents can get banged up while working with him. Man, this is professional wrestling. So what, guys? They have predetermined outcomes. Okay. There ain't nothing fake about the rest of it. You know, I watched a shoot interview with Kevin Nash, and he said that one man a long, long time ago sat him down and said, kid, let me tell you something. There's only two things real about this business, the money and the miles.
Yeah.
So the money and the miles, the only two real. Now, he ain't talking about miles up and down the road. He's talking about the miles that you put on your body as a performer, as a wrestler, as a sports entertainer, however you want to look at it. I can't stand these idiotic people out in town who think they're going to educate you just by going, wrestling's fake. People sound so stupid when they say that. I'm a 31-year-old grown-ass man, and I watch professional wrestling. You know why? Because it interests me. Because there's millions of women in this country who sit around at 11 o'clock in the morning and watch The Young and the Restless, and nobody walks in and goes, hey, this is all fake, right? Because we're not stupid. We don't have to be told stuff like that. Predetermined outcomes, that does not mean that everything in the ring is fake. I've told people, hey, let me grab a steel chair and let me bust you over the back of the head with it, and you tell me how fake that is. You know what? No takers on that offer. No takers to this day.
Well, I tell you, you have to be in shape.
You can't run in there. You have to know how to land a move. You got to know how to take a bump. You got to know everything about how to do things in the ring. And if you don't, you're going to die in there. You're going to die.
Owen Hart.
Well, that was a slip up in the rafters. I mean, the lesson learned there was don't come in from the damn rafters.
Eddie Gilbert.
I don't even know about Eddie Gilbert. I don't know.
Had a heart attack during a match. Well, my friend Rob Phipps. Adrian
well, I'm talking about. Look at how stupid Owen Hart was. First of all, I can't stand Owen Hart. I don't care about what happened to the guy. I really don't. I don't care what family he comes from. He was a horribly sloppy wrestler. He's the reason why Stone Cold got his neck broken. I mean, you have to know where to place people. You can't just do a sit down pile driver while you're sitting on someone's head. You got to place that where they're right between your thighs, where their head is not going to hit the mat, and where their back is not straight. And he put Stone Cold's back straight up and down and sat on his head and broke his neck. You can't do that to people. I can't stand Owen Hart. I don't even like any of the Harts. I don't like the Hart family, the dynasty, the foundation, whatever you want to call them. They all bother me. They're all a bunch of crybabies. That's all they... Owen was a nugget. Bret Hart never got over the screw job because he was too conceited and pig-headed to say, you know what, yeah, I will go ahead and give up the title. I don't care if I'm at home or not. I'm going to go ahead and give up the championship because that is what was best for business. That was the direction the business was going towards Shawn Michaels, the new age of wrestling. It was not stuck in 1984 with Bret the Hitman Hart and Big Jim the Anvil. It wasn't filled with those guys. It was going in the direction of Shawn Michaels, and Bret did not want to do what was best for business, and he got what he deserved. I mean, you can sit around and be negative and whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm so sad somebody took a title away from me. Vince screwed me. Whatever. Bret screwed Bret. I agree with Vince.
You're fired. No.
Man, I mean, that gets me fired up. I mean, I just can't stand
can
any
tell.
Of those guys.
I can
can't
tell.
Stand them.
Now, you got to tolerate Natalya. Come on. She's fun to watch.
I mean, she's after the whole farting angle, I'm out on that.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Okie dokie. So what else we got, Bubba?
Let me switch over to, as some people would call it, real sports news. Dustin Pedroia and the Red Sox have reached a $100 million deal.
Wow.
What do you do with all that damn money? All-star second baseman Dustin Pedroia has reached a deal with the Boston Red Sox. This is coming from ESPN.com. A 7-year contract worth around $100 million. The deal is pending a physical. The contract, according to the source, begins in 2015 and runs through 2021. I mean, that's looking at the future. It will pay Pedroia around an average of $14 million per season. He's currently playing on a 6-year, $40.5 million contract. This is a gigantic pay increase. This is like $60 million more than what he's making now. It's not official. I don't think about it, any of it, Pedroia said. He said, I enjoy coming every day to play, especially this park, this city. This is my life. So, yeah, yada, yada, yada. Somebody just ponied up $100 million for me, I would let them adopt me. I mean, I would be like, hey, I'm your long-lost baby, you know? I mean, that's what I would do, but whatever.
The phone lines are open, 347-326-9073, if you want to call in. You know, any comments, any questions, feel free to get on in here. Phones are kind of dead today.
Nobody yeah, my phones were kind of dead, too. I had you call in. I talked to Hillbilly Steve a little bit. Hillbilly Steve is trying to get back in shape, and he's got a quest for the cage going on. I went by Hillbilly Steve's farm the other day. I drove by, and this dude was outside in the sweltering heat. He's barefoot, wearing his overalls, and he's bench pressing. Now, he's got this bench press outside of one of his barns that he's got, and Hillbilly Steve's one of these guys. He's got more money than he knows what to do with, and he is, you know, he works off the land. Family's been doing it for generations. He's got this bench press outside one of his barns, and he, instead of weights on either side of the bench press bar, he's got bales of hay attached to this.
Wow.
This dude is bench pressing bales of hay.
Wow.
I mean, just getting it like he's been doing it for 30 years. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
Wow. So. I'm just sitting here kind of thinking, wow.
Yeah. Tom Brady says that in the case of Aaron Hernandez, he is not the father. No, I'm kidding. He said that in his first public comment since Aaron Hernandez was arrested, quarterback Tom Brady was understated, saying simply that he has moved on when asked about his reaction to the murder charge against his former tight end. Tom Brady said, I've seen a lot of things over 13 years, and what I've learned is that mental toughness and putting aside personal agendas for what's in the best interest of the team is what matters most. He said, my job is to play quarterback, and I'm going to do that the best way I know how because I owe that to my teammates, regardless of who is out there on the field with me. I have moved on.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. You're doing that mute thing again.
Sorry. No, I was just clicking ahead. I mean, I was reading ahead here, and I didn't want to breathe into the microphone.
Ooh, that sounds sick.
Oh, I don't know about that. Sounded kind of sound like you were throwing up in my ear.
Let me get a cigarette here. Hold on.
Going crazy, folks.
Yes, we are. But it's all good.
Have you seen the inside of John Elway's high-tech home?
No.
Man. Do you talk about this dude's got more money than he knows what to do with. I mean, he could just throw it away. He's got this home theater. And it's pretty cool, but in between the seats, he's got other TVs that can watch other stuff while the theater's running. I mean, if that's not a waste, I don't know what is. So
whatever happened to the picture-in-picture that at one time was a big thing on TV?
Oh, they still have it.
Do they still have it?
Well, the problem, they do, but the problem is it can't be used anymore. I mean, think about it. When picture-in-picture came out, it was a...
You had to have a VCR to do it.
Not even that. It was something that needed to be controlled by the TV because it was a perk on the TV. Then people started hooking their cable up through their VCRs and trying to hit picture-in-picture. Well, you can't control channels on your VCR remote on two different settings. It was VCR remotes weren't set up for that. They used to have you could hit a picture-in-picture button on your remote and change the channel on it, and then switch back to your regular picture and change the channel on that. VCR remotes weren't set up for that. Neither were cable box remotes. My DVR remote is not set up for picture-in-picture for my TV. You know, these universal remotes, they weren't created for these TVs. They have generic codes where you can control most or some buttons, but not all. And it's the stuff like picture-in-picture and input and things like that that these codes on these universal remotes don't always cover. So,
no.
I mean, it's a wasted piece of technology, what it is.
Especially if you have one of those off-name brand VCR or DVD players, you might be able to find a code to hook it up with your universal remote. Then again, you may not.
Like Sonar DVDs. I mean, you know, you can't, there's nothing really to, or Nuvo, you know, Nuvo DVD players. I mean, you can't really find a code for those.
Oh, I know it. I mean, I forget what brand mine is, but it took me forever to find the code to get the crazy thing running.
Yeah.
Crazy,
Mark,
man.
Mark Cuban is saying that the biggest misconception about the Dallas Mavericks is public belief that Dirk Nowitzki is no longer a superstar. Nowitzki had his streak of 11 consecutive All-Star appearances snapped last season when he missed 29 games because of arthroscopic knee surgery, but Mark Cuban considers the down season to be an aberration, citing Nowitzki's injuries and the Mavs' subpar point guard play. So, Dirk Nowitzki's failures are being blamed on a missing point guard. If there's one missing piece between what everyone is saying and what we're doing, everybody, I think, has missed Dirk. Like, Dirk is done. He's on the downside, and he can't play anymore, and he's not the type of contributor that he was. Mark Cuban said that during an appearance on ESPN Dallas, 103.3 FM's Galloway and Company. He said, if you look at the mess that we had in terms of our guard play and basketball IQ when Dirk came back and really got into gear, we beat a lot of good teams. I think we were at a 48 or 50 win clip, but he said you put a much better set of players around him, and Dirk is in a situation where he doesn't have to rush back. He's had all summer to prepare his body and get ready.
They definitely need a point guard. I think that's what the Mavericks have been missing the last couple of years.
Well, they stink, and they hired one. They got Jose Calderon here. You know, he used to be with Cleveland. Jose Calderon signed him to a 4-year, $29 million deal. You know, look, I used to pick up Jose. Nah, hell, I still do that. I used to pick up Jose Calderon
on your fantasy team.
On my fantasy team when I needed some points, when I needed a dude that could come in and throw down some assists and score a few points and get some steals, I picked up Jose Calderon. You know, plus now they've got high scoring free agent Monte Ellis. You know, that's another guy who's always my starter on fantasy basketball. You know, I roll with Monte Ellis all the time. So they've got a couple of point guards here, and actually Monte Ellis is a point guard and a shooting guard, so I mean, they could theoretically they can have Calderon and Monte Ellis bringing the ball up the floor together. I mean, they could be unstoppable.
Oh, like, yeah,
John Paxson,
I mean,
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, well, those days are done. I mean, there ain't never going to be another Paxton or Jordan combination, so
I don't know. There could be another Paxson, but I just don't know who would take the Jordan place there. Unless you want to talk about Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, I mean, they're the ones that are trying to compare themselves, I guess.
I thought you were about to say the K word, and I was about to mute your butt.
The K word?
Kobe.
Oh, that dude's washed up since 1999.
If I heard the K, I was 1 second away from muting you. If you'd have said Kobe,
I can't stand that guy. You know, I grew up a Celtics fan, and I am the opposite of a Lakers fan. So I don't even acknowledge those guys.
There you go. That a boy. I knew there was something I liked about you.
Yeah, that's, I hate the Lakers and everything associated with them. I'm just now getting to where I can tolerate Shaq again. You know, he traded on me and went to the Lakers to the dark side for a while, and I didn't care for that. So, you know, whatever, it is what it is. Hey, did you ever catch the Celebrity Wife Swap Season 2, Episode 5, Ric Flair and Rowdy Roddy Piper? Did you ever catch that?
I watched that.
I mean,
I saw
Ric
that.
Ric Flair's not even married.
I know, but for some reason. I thought it was pretty good myself. Because
I mean, I'm going to watch it. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to check it out. But I don't know. Whatever. Good Lord.
I mean, from what I understand, some good stuff came out of it. Cause Rick has gotten to where he's kind of a more stay-at-home guy instead of having to go around.
I don't know. I think the death of his son really kind of solidified that position for him. You know, I don't think he's keen on getting out much anymore.
Nah, don't ask me, brother.
What else you got? You got anything going on? Anything?
I'm just kind of scouring over stuff.
You want to hear about a kick in the pants? Big Ten schools are splitting Penn State's bowl revenue.
Yeah, I heard that. I saw that. I do. For all you motorsport enthusiasts, ESPN and Turner Sports have announced that they are dropping NASCAR coverage.
Yes.
And NBC and Fox will pick up the coverage next season.
That's worthless.
Don't ask me, homie. I just watch it for the crash. Because you know it's inevitable. You know the big crash is coming. It's just a matter of when.
What big crash are you talking about? Is there somebody you're hoping for?
Oh, no, just any crash in general. I mean, something about seeing a car doing 25 barrel rolls in a row that, you know, people come to races to see because they know it's eventually going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And they leave the race bummed if they don't get the big crash. So,
well, that's awful. That's ridiculous. That's like going to the circus to watch the tightrope walkers fall and die. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think it's that bad. But...
Well, I do. I think it's horrible for people to want to be like that. That's crazy.
Okay. Don't yell at me.
They get upset because they don't see a wreck. Are you kidding me? That's what killed Dale Earnhardt. I mean, come on. Unbelievable. These people, they should be ashamed of themselves, I tell you.
Ashamed.
Ashamed.
I am. I'm kind of checking out all my sources, see if I can pick up anything new. Oklahoma, Texas hasn't named a starting quarterback yet. NCAA is seeking dismissal of paterno family lawsuit.
You saying Oklahoma and Texas?
Yes.
Oh, because you said Oklahoma, Texas. I'm like, those two words do not flow at all.
Man, I had an Eagles moment on my trip back from Arizona.
Really? Tell me about that.
Well, you know, they have the song Take It Easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Standing on a corner of Winslow, Arizona. So, needless to say, yes, I went through Winslow, Arizona on the way back. I stood on a corner and got my picture took.
Red, did you put that on Facebook?
Yes, but I did not. I did not see any hot blondes in a flatbed Ford. Oh, wait a minute. I don't think I did put that picture on Facebook. What was I thinking?
Well, now, it wasn't a blonde. It was just a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford.
Oh, well, I ain't on me. You know, I ain't on blondes, baby. Hey,
Looking for the blondes.
Yeah, baby. Come on.
Not the Hollywood blondes, though.
Oh, hell no. Let's see, but motion mountains. Why did I take so many pictures of mountains for?
Well, there's a ton of them out there.
Yes. No, we don't want to do the slideshow. We want to go over here. Okay, I'm posting it to Facebook right now. Whoop, there we go. Matter of fact, I think I did now that I think about it. Because I remember people commenting about it. Okay, it should be coming up there any second like was. All right. You know what what's for dinner tonight?
I don't know yet. I'm going to see what the little one wants. It may be a bowl of ice cream, to be honest with you, because that's how cool Dad is.
Yeah. I think I'm pregnant. You know what I'm craving?
Oh, my.
Sushi and banana pudding.
Sushi and banana pudding.
Yes.
Huh.
I don't know what it is lately, but like every two or three days, I get a craving for banana pudding.
That's strange.
Well, hey, who are you talking to, brother? Come on now.
Well, that's true. I mean, any guy named Sloan.
Hey. Careful. We're careful. Should I talk? No, I ain't talking about that. I'm not. That's a dead horse. I'm not going to beat anymore. Oh, Wilbur.
You know who just sent me a message on Facebook?
Barack Obama.
You will never guess this. Our postal clerk that was on my ship on the USS Nassau.
Sweet.
My old postal clerk. I used to go down to this lady and get mail all the time. And I recognized that name from somewhere. And then I clicked on the thing. She said, your name just popped up with your face on it. So I clicked on it. She said, you have some gorgeous kids. I hope they have your sense of humor. You know, come to think of it, yeah, I guess she did know who I was. And man, dadgum. You know, I get emails like this all the time, not just people commenting about how beautiful my kids are and how sexy my jawline is, and things like that.
You do got some sharp-looking kids. I will give you that.
That's how I make them, dude. Blonde hair, blue eyes, I mean, that's how I roll. You know, I've got the most beautiful daughter I've ever seen, and my son looks just like me. He's almost 13. In fact, he's almost as tall as me, too, so... You know, he's getting big these days. But, hey, do you know who's working with TCW?
Who?
A guy named Thomas C. Parker.
Thomas C. Parker. Colonel Tom Parker?
Colonel Tom Parker.
Wow. I haven't heard that name since WCW.
WCW, Colonel Tom Parker was Robert Fuller is what he, you know,
right,
is
his
real name.
Back when he was wrestling, it was Robert Fuller and the Tennessee,
yeah.
With the Tennessee Studs?
Tennessee Stud 2, Tennessee Lee, Colonel Robert Parker.
He had all kinds of
names.
My memory's like that, man. What can I say? I can't remember what the hell happened yesterday, but, you know, hey. stuff 15 years ago? Hey, I'm on it.
Man, he's 62 years old now. Robert Welch is his real name. He shot me a message on Facebook not too long ago. He said, Clint, we're trying to get on in Fort Smith because, we were talking about how they took TCW off of Cox Cable in the River Valley, and we were like, what in the hell?
That's their home neighborhood.
I mean, this is the stomping grounds, man. They took them off the TV. And so April 1st, man, he sent me a message on Facebook. He said, Clint, we're trying to get on in Fort Smith. Call or email the GM at the TV stations. Hope to see you at the show next weekend. Come by and introduce yourself.
We do. I mean, I think we need to go have a meeting with Matt Riviera. And... see what we can do to help get TCW border to border, coast to coast, to coin a phrase.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's what I'm hoping for. You know, 30 million homes now.
I think we could do it.
30 million homes now. You know, the key is going to be getting this to stick out west. If we can get TCW to stick out west, then I think we can make it happen. And they may be getting big out there. You know, you never know. But they're going to be in Tennessee coming up.
Didn't they just recently do a event in association with the Cauliflower Alley Club not too long ago?
Of course they did. Yeah, you bet. They all went to Las Vegas. Not all of them, but some of them went to Las Vegas. And they were up there with the CAC. And they did their thing up there and had a great time.
You need to be careful how you say that. That sounds like some kind of sexually transmitted disease or something. I got the CAC.
The CAC. Well, you know, when I was teaching classes for Bank of America, we were CAC. We were Customer Advocacy and Collections.
Wow.
And,
okay.
So I'm used to saying CAC. I mean, everybody, you know, people love the CAC.
That don't even sound right. God,
people
man.
Love the CAC. I mean, that's just, it's a fact. It's a fact, Jack. People love the CAC.
Well, well,
I'm literally sitting here with my head in my hands thinking, wow, where have we gone?
If people don't know me by now, I did that completely on purpose. I was set up perfectly for it, and that was just one. And I used to do that all the time in class, especially because, you know, I would teach certain lessons out of the book. I had to sometimes, and most of it I had to memorize.
Yeah.
But certain lessons I had to pull. I had to pull one of the chapters out of the book, and I would set it to the side in its own personal binder at once. You know, just because I separate subjects, and I would be talking about who we are and what we do, and I would tell people, you got to respect the CAC. You have got to love the CAC, and if you don't, the CAC will get you. And of course, that sounded weird, and I would have a new class. There would be 30 people in there at a time, and these new people that didn't know me, didn't know my sense of humor, they would look at me like, really? I mean, what is he trying to say here? And so that was the funniest part of it. But, yeah, gotta love the CAC. People love the CAC.
The CAC. All right. Hey, I was just
walking down the street one day.
Yeah, there we go. I just picked up this story out of St. Charles, Missouri, KSDK. And I'm going to read the story. Mixed martial arts may not seem like a sport for a grandmother, but one of the top local fighters in St. Charles, Missouri, just happens to have two grandchildren. Susie Wyatt is a petite woman. She has a great personality and a great outlook on how to live life. But she isn't somebody you want to tangle with inside of the octagon. Wow.
She's actually profiled on mixedmartialarts.com. She is a 51-year-old 135-pound female, and she is six and two.
Wow.
Her last fight was a couple of days ago, July 20th. That was Saturday.
Yeah.
She fought a lady named Liz Turpin at Fight Hard MMA. She won by an arm bar at 39 seconds into the first round.
Go, Grandma! Wow.
Unbelievable. The only two fights that she's lost, one of them was by decision after the third round, and another was the referee stopped it at the end of the second round. So she takes people the distance.
Right.
She takes people the distance here, and she has won by rear naked choke. Then by rear naked choke, and then one just says submission. Another win came by submission arm triangle choke. and two wins came by submission armbar. This lady's a beast.
But yeah, they call her, her nickname is Mama Beast.
Why can't we get her on the show? Can we just call her and get her on the show?
I don't know. We need to get on this.
Yeah, she's out of Missouri. Let me see if she's got a Facebook page.
I might have a hookup to get us a hold of her.
Really?
Because I'm sitting here watching the video of her fighting, and I just happen to recognize the ring announcer, who is a very good friend of mine. So I'm going to get in touch with my buddy, Dave Davis, who that looks like the back of his head, and see if he can hook us up with her.
Now, there's an age discrepancy here. MMA.com says that she is 51, and St. Louis Today says that she's 47. So, I don't know.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
She is on Twitter. I just found her on Twitter. She is at the _mama_beast. She now
right.
has 26 followers.
Now she has I just found her on Facebook. And, oh, yeah, we're on this. We are all over this.
Send me a link to her Facebook page. Message it to me or something. I'm going to send you her Twitter.
All right, you do that. I'll,
We're like stage five stalkers all of a sudden. We're like, we got to meet this lady who likes to fight.
We're not that bad, are we?
I mean, I don't know. The fighting grandma. I mean, we're trying to chase a fighting grandmother. Does that sound weird? Does that look weird?
No.
It's strange?
That don't sound weird at all. Hmm. I found her contact information.
Well, we need to get a hold of this lady.
Her Facebook information. Yeah, we are on this.
She may be listening.
I mean, I'm going to send her an email.
Susie, if you're listening, 347-326-9073. Give us a phone call.
Yeah, I'm sending her a message right now.
Sweet.
You go ahead and talk while I'm sending a message.
I'm looking at my news feed, and there's not a lot to talk about, to be honest with you.
Right.
A lot of people are saying they hate Razorback Cab Company. They suck just as bad as the team. That's what it says on Facebook. There is a picture that came out with Lance Armstrong and Ryan Braun. And Ryan Braun is saying, any advice, Lance? And Lance says, try losing a sympathy nut.
Wow.
A picture came out of Megan Goodwin down on her knees in the cage at show fight. With her eye, trying to fix her eye. She was probably trying to put it back in her head. That lady about poked the damn thing plumb out of it.
You tell it, boy.
Man, I can't stand what went down up there. It just pisses me off.
Oh, I understand, man. Everybody's texting me now. It must be 5 o'clock. Yeah, it is.
It is. It's 5:13 in the p.m.
5:13. All right. Yeah, but you can find her on Facebook, Susie Wyatt. So I just sent her an email. We're going to get her on the show, boys and girls.
We need to. I think that would be a good conversation.
Did you say you did or did not go to the boxing event with No Fire over at Tulsa?
Did not. I was not able to do that. It was Friday night. We had a business meeting with XFI on Saturday, and I was not able to procure the plans. To make that happen. We're actually going to Tulsa on Thursday to spend a little time with my mom and dad, the grandparents of my children, and so we're gonna do that this week.
Oh, there we go. So speaking of your big meeting with the powers that be at XFI, what's the latest?
Well, I don't know what I can say. I mean, I've got an identification card sitting right here in front of me, and I have a title now. But I just don't know what I can say yet. I don't know if it's secret or if it's I don't know. I mean, I guess it's not a big I'm a board member. That damn phone just had to mess up my news.
Yeah, we're listening. Go ahead.
So you're
a board member now.
I am a board member of Extreme Fighting Inc. I was added to the board. I mean, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it. It's an honor and a privilege, and we've got a great team. It was a shock. It was a complete shock. I had no idea what was going on. And, you know, usually when we have meetings, there's a lot of people involved. And this time there was just very, very few at this meeting. And I thought, why are we not going to have the usual crowd at the meeting? And this was why. We just had a business matter to tend to. And so, bada bing, bada boom. Man, it's an equal playing field. So, you know, the owners of the company have extended the olive branch to myself and two other individuals, and so it's a five-member panel on the board, and, man, we're looking forward to the next event. We're getting stuff done. It's wonderful. I can't describe it. I don't even know what to say about it. It's an honor.
Yeah. Well, I need to be getting a hold of the powers that be and verify that I'm coming back for Extreme Night of Champions.
Ironically, I am one of those powers that be now. So, you know, all I got to do is make some contacts and find out some information and I'll probably give you a shout, you know, so we'll do what we got to do.
Yeah. Cause I enjoyed being back with the crew, as I call, and you know, I want to keep coming back. So
yeah,
that's all I can say about that.
Well, I will. I'll do some intel gathering, and we'll see what we got going on.
Cool.
Yeah.
5:17. I'm supposed to be having a mystery caller come in. Somebody came into chat room. And said I would be on the air before I will try to call in before you guys go off at 5:30. So we're kind of stretching things out.
That's what she said. Now you do know that we can stay on.
Wow.
You do know that we can stay on until 6, right? This thing will take you into overtime until.
Yeah, but I want people to hear it live, so. The recording stuff is fun, and I'm glad we have that option. But I just want people to be able to hear live. Know
That's
what I mean?
Why we should stay on longer.
You think we should start going to 6?
I mean, we can't. I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't say that because 5:30 is a good time, and if I had something to do, I'd hate to have to duck out. You know.
Right.
I don't know. It ain't broke. 5:30 is good. We usually do 5:30. It's all good.
Yeah,
it's all good. What else do we have in the lower game? Oh, shoot.
Sorry, couldn't resist. How much is that dog in? Yeah, so I am, you know. I don't. What do you got planned for the weekend? I know it's only Tuesday, but it's never too early to start planning ahead for the weekend.
I don't have much going on. I mean, we're going to go Saturday night at Driller Stadium. Yep, Tulsa Driller Stadium. They are a AA affiliate of the Colorado Rockies. And it is Oklahoma City Thunder night, and they're giving away jerseys, Tulsa Drillers basketball jerseys.
Awesome.
And so my son and I are going to try to get to that. The first 1,500 people in the door get free jerseys. And last time we were up there, we got Matt Holliday jerseys. We got Mickey Mantle figurines on Mickey Mantle night. Mickey Mantle's two surviving sons were at the stadium. They threw out the first pitch. And so we were able to get the Mickey Mantle figurines. We stood down front. We got the drillers to autograph some baseballs for us and caught a game ball. I mean, we did all kinds of stuff. I mean, we were sitting right behind the dugout, like almost on top of it. So, man, we just had a blast. We had a blast.
Hey, I do have some. I have come across some MMA news.
What you got?
It has now been made official. Daniel Cormier and Roy Nelson has been set for UFC 166 in Houston.
Why is nobody talking about UFC 163?
I have no idea. Because we tried to talk. Wait a minute. I don't know.
I mean, we haven't even talked about who's on that card. I mean, it's Aldo and the Korean Zombie.
Right.
Jung.
I'm not even saying. Let me finish up on this story, and then we'll jump on. Cormier, 12-0, is a former Olympic wrestler who transitioned into MMA, made his pro debut in 2009. And Nelson, 19-8, has been a fan favorite since winning the 10th season of The Ultimate Fighter. So, yes, the rumor had been running around there for a while that this match might be taking place, and they have now made it official. Roy Nelson Cormier, UFC 166, and that's going to be the co-headline match, which is the headliner is Cain Velasquez against Junior Dos Santos.
Not interested.
So that's UFC 166. Let's see UFC 163. See what we can drum up for the boys. Uh-oh.
I mean, I've got it right here. I've got the whole deal. This is coming at you live from Brazil. Aldo and Jung, Machida and Davis, Ferreira and Santos. I mean, there's a stacked card here. I mean, even some of the prelims look like they're going to be good.
I should have remembered that because Mike Goldberg, UFC color man, was also inducted into the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame, but he had to send a representative who turned out to be Nate the Rock Quarry to accept the award for him because he was doing the family thing, which I admire him for. He coaches his son's hockey team.
Come on. You're going to the Hall of Fame. Can hockey take a back seat?
But you got to understand now. He wanted to do the family thing because Goldberg
Man,
is going to be
I mean,
because
come on.
Goldberg
family,
is
the family thing. This is ridiculous. I mean, he can't fly out there on a Saturday morning and get an award and fly home. I mean, we're talking about Mike Goldberg. We're talking about a guy who the UFC foots his bill, and he can't go to the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame and accept an award and turn around and go back home. I mean, geez, it's not like he's moving to Brazil. He may be down there a week, and I guarantee you every bit of that week, except for Saturday night, August 3rd, is going to be a vacation. So, man, I don't know. I think people who are in a position, you know, if there's somebody who's not dying or on their deathbed or something like that, and they can't accept an award like that, I just don't have any respect for that, to be honest with you.
Well, knowing the situation, knowing that he was going to be going out of town, out of the country next weekend, going to Brazil for UFC, I can understand the man wanting to spend his family time, yes?
Well, that was two weekends from then. That was in 2 weeks. That's not even this weekend. That's next weekend.
Oh, is that next weekend? Okay.
Yeah, what do we got? The 26th, 27th, the 28th coming up this weekend. And then the 31st is next Wednesday. That's the last day of the month. And then August 3rd is on Saturday. There's so much stuff going on. On August the 3rd, we've got UFC 163. We've got Border Wars in West Siloam, Oklahoma. We've got what's the other one that we've got? We've got TCW Wrestling in Fort Smith. There's all kinds of stuff on August the 3rd.
Oh yeah.
And it's kind of got where do we want to go? You know, which direction do we want to go? Do we want to go to Siloam and watch that show, or do we want to go to TCW? I'm kind of torn right now.
I'm probably going to be watching UFC 163 just because it's going to cost me less money. In fact, I can watch UFC 163 for nothing. So I would go to West Siloam, but I just don't feel like driving. I take my kids back to their moms on the 31st, and then I turn right around 2 days later and pick them up again. So that's just kind of how, you know, I get them for the last 2 weeks of July, and then it turns out I get them. That's just how our weekends fell. I've got them that weekend as well, so it's going to be pretty awesome.
But I respect that. I'm good with that.
But, I mean, if I was going to the Hall of Fame, I would bypass a weekend and I would go get my award.
I agree. What?
Nothing.
What?
People think I'm just really a mean-hearted individual, but, you know.
Nah, you're a pussycat. When they get to know you, when they. Okay, here's what I'm trying to get worked out. And I want to do it with the folks at XFI, and I want to do it with Striking over in Muskogee for the shows coming up over there. I'm really wanting to push the Greg Squirrel Show Facebook page.
Well, get it out there. You know I'll do it.
It's there. It's kind of been sitting idle, though. So here's what we want to do. And this is what I would like to do. I'm going to set goal. We're going to set goals with some really cushy prizes. Even if I have to pay for these little cushy prizes out of my pocket. This is what we're going to do to get people hitting the like button on the Greg Squirrel Show. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead, throw it out there, and then I'll handle the rest. When we reach 50 likes, whoever that 50th person is, it's kind of like you were doing with the XFI page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, even if I have to pay for it out of my pocket, the 50th person to hit 50 likes on the Greg Squirrel page, I'm going to get them sitting at my table with me, cage side, at the next XFI show.
Nice.
As a matter of fact, we may even do that since we do have Striking coming up first. We'll do that for Striking.
There you go. And, yeah, that's a lot sooner.
Right. And then we'll start pushing for 100. And whatever show I have coming up, when we get close to that 100, whoever the 100th person is, I will get them at my table at that event.
Can I tell you a secret?
What?
I have just invited close to 273 people while you've been talking.
You go, boy.
I've got over 1,200 friends on Facebook, and I know them all. They're either people that I taught school or taught classes to, or worked with, or was in the military with, or grew up with, or went to church with. These are all people I know. They're not. I don't have a bunch of people on my or their family. I don't have a bunch of people on my friends list that I don't know.
Right. Okay.
And I'm just sitting here. I'm on rapid fire mode. I'm clicking the invite button on everybody that's coming up.
There you go, baby. Let's do this thing.
We'll probably hit 50 before 7 o'clock. What do you want to bet?
I'm not a betting man. I will. If you name your favorite drink, and if we reach 60, or if we reach 50 before 7 o'clock, I will buy you, the next time we're together, I will buy you your favorite drink.
Really?
Really.
Let's see, we're at 32 likes right now. I think we can handle this. I almost clicked on the wrong page. I clicked on the page that's called Rest in Peace, Greg the Squirrel.
No.
Yes, there is a Rest in Peace, Greg the Squirrel page, and I just about shared that one.
You know,
I
actually did that. You know, I actually found a guy in England that was using the name Greg Squirrel. We're about to run over, folks, so if you hear us go off the air, that's why. Because we're going to expound on this a little bit.
They'll keep us on until 6. They won't cut us off until the two-hour mark.
Oh, okay, so we're still on the air then?
You bet.
Oh, sweet, good. So, yeah. It was when my dad passed away that I was kind of fumbling around the internet and everything, and I found a guy that was using my dad's name. But then I found a guy in England that was using my name, and I said, "Dude, you need to cancel your page because you are not Greg Squirrel. There is only Greg Squirrel on this planet, and I'm him."
Wow.
Unless my dad's did something I don't know about and mama don't know about, I'm just saying. Wow, everybody.
Well, I don't know.
Everybody. What did you do, Clint?
What are you talking about?
I am getting all these likes now.
You're welcome.
I love
drink,
you,
bro.
Baby. Where's that drink at? Where are we at? We got to do some counting.
That is August 17th, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I am about to publish this on my news feed here, and you're going to have exposure to 1,200 and some odd people. Here's what I said. We need 50 likes before 7 p.m. The 50th like will sit cage side with Greg Squirrel at the next Striking Muay Thai kickboxing event in Muskogee on August 17th. I tagged Gregory Squirrel, and bam, there it is. It is on Facebook.
There it is.
You went from 32 to 42 like that.
Wow.
So what was – I say 10 p.m. you'll have 100. What do you think?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm not making that – I'm not going double or nothing. What?
It's good stuff. Good stuff.
Well, I think we just went to 44. Hold on a minute. Yeah, we're at 44. God, what
man.
I mean,
I should have said 50 likes before 5:45. I gave myself too big of a window of opportunity here.
Wow, so damn, I owe you a drink now.
I started out with 3 friends who liked the Greg Squirrel Show. Now I've got 14 who liked the Greg Squirrel Show. And it happened in mere minutes. It just snapped my fingers and it's done.
44 people. 46, 45.
I don't think people underestimate. I've got the greatest group of friends on the face of the earth. I don't think people know. I mean, I've got, this is why XFI Live has blown up. I calculated. My show has been listened to 1,253 times per week, and I only do 2 shows a week. That's 1,253 listens per week. We got to start getting links up every day to the show. We got to start putting them up on the Greg Squirrel Show, and then No, all these people who like the page, they'll get updates. They'll know when to click. And we're at 47. We're at 47 right now. We need 3 more.
No.
And Clint Davis gets a drink of his choice.
Yes.
You're going to die when I ask for like a Dr. Pepper or something, you know? You're going to be like, that's cheap and easy, man.
Hey, don't be talking about my last date like that. Come on now. Cheap and easy?
We're at 48 now. I've got 18 friends. It started out with 3. I've got 18 friends. So I've had 15 friends like this in a matter of 5 minutes.
Wow.
I've got the best group of friends on the face of the earth, and if anybody says anything different, I will hunt them down and tell them something different. So wonderful group of friends. Got a good circle around me. And I appreciate everybody who is always there for me. I love it, man. I love it.
Wow. I'm still looking at watching the counter go up.
Getting good, huh?
We're at 48 right now, so.
Hey, I had when I put a page up for XFI Live, I ended up taking it down like 5 days later because I wanted to, we wanted to channel everything through the XFI's official Facebook page. But when I first put an XFI Live Facebook page up, I had 400 likes in the first probably maybe 3.5 hours that I was on there.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Are they calling you now? 49. We need one more, and we're fixing to hit it. Local MMA Online, Arkansas, Oklahoma just liked it. So now you'll be able to tell who the 50th like is, right?
I don't know.
I think you can. I was always able to.
I think we just hit it.
Man, we're at 51 now.
Okay.
So there you go, 5:35 p.m. I'm going to go back and listen to this and see what time it was that I said we wanted to hit 50, you know, when we wanted to hit it by 7 o'clock. And I want to see what time that was because it's 5:35, and now we have surpassed the 50 likes mark.
Yeah, let's see if we can figure out who the...
It's like we're on Squirrel Watch right here. It's going to be one of my friends. I mean, I started out with three friends who liked your page, and now I've got 21. So
this is better than Baby Royalty Watch here.
Royal Baby Watch.
Royal Baby Watch.
I think, as an admin, I think you can go in and find out who you can count your likes and find out who... Who your 50th like was.
That's what I'm trying to do here. Let's see here.
You give me a name, I'll publish it.
I'm still looking, so. Let's see here. Let's see if I can push this button and see what this one does. Nope, that didn't tell me crap.
What would you do if it was me and I was the 50th one?
Well, that wouldn't surprise me.
Because I might have waited to just hit it when we were at 49.
Yeah, you want the you want the tickets and the drink. Okay, I see how you are. Right here on the Greg Squirrel Show, 347-3. Well, the phone line's not even up anymore, is it? They can't call in now, can they?
They can't?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't know. What is your phone line number? 347-326-9073. We're gonna dispel this rumor right here and right now. I'm pretty sure you stay on until 6 o'clock.
I don't know, man.
Well, I don't know. We may not be on. It's not. It didn't let me call in.
Huh. Because it just says recording, but it doesn't indicate any time or anything.
Huh. Well, it's probably still recording. We'll probably be able to hear it on the playback. So it may not be live, but yeah, we can. You know, this is why I always set my show up just to go 2 hours, whether I go 2 hours or not, just to be safe.
Well, fine, then we're going to start doing it. So there we go.
Yeah. Especially if we have contests like this. But yeah, tonight I'm going to work on getting us at least to 100. I mean, I think we can do that before. I think we could do it before 7 o'clock. To be completely honest with you, I think we could get to 100. And
I'll have to figure out how to find out, you know, who that 50th like was. So.
Yeah, we'll try to pan that out, and then we'll get that published on Facebook and go from there.
Well, there you go. Buddy, let's take it to the house.
Let's do it, man.
All right. See you here tomorrow.
Be here tomorrow. Yep.
All right. I'm going to get a hold of my buddies, Dave Davis, up in Missouri, and see if he can help us get a hold of, what was it, Grandma Beast?
Mama Beast.
Mama Beast. Mama Beast. See what we can get figured out on that. So, until tomorrow, let me cue up the old go-home music here. All right, here we go. All right, well, we're going to get on out of here. Me and all my new friends.
All right, we're
going to get out of here. Clint, see you tomorrow, brother.
All right, buddy, I'll talk to you later. Peace.
All right. Hey, watch out. We're supposed to be getting some rain out there. So, everybody, be safe. And we will talk to you tomorrow on the Greg Squirrel Show right here on Blog Talk Radio.